Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Jot it down if you haven't done so already. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The month is young, but so far this month we've been talking about the significance of prayer, the resources available for those who support our ministry. You can find on the web at equip.org, and they do have to do directly with prayer. As mentioned in some of the advertisements, the prayer of Saint Ephraim. This is a prayer that I pray every single morning before I leave my bathroom, because I have a cross perched up against my mirror. It has the prayer of Saint Ephraim on it, and each morning I pray this prayer. But I also pray, as many of you do, the Lord's Prayer. But I fear oftentimes we can get into sort of a tradition with that loses its power and its vigor, because we say the words without understanding that this is not a prayer mantra. It's a prayer manner. In fact, and I memorized this a long time ago when I was writing the book, The Prayer of Jesus, also available for those who support the ministry. It is described by Adolf Saphir as the model prayer. And he said that as a model prayer, it commends itself to the most superficial glance. It approves itself at once to the conscience of man. It's beautiful. It's symmetrical. It's like the most finished work of art. The words are plain and unadorned, and yet the words are majestic, and they're so transparent and appropriate that once fixed in our memory, no other expressions ever mix themselves up with them. The thought of substituting other words never even enters our mind. Grave and solemn are the petitions, and yet the serenity and tranquil confidence, the peace and the joy that they breathe, prove attractive to every heart. Well, the prayer is short, so it can be easily and quickly learned. It can be remembered, frequently used, but it contains all things pertaining to life and godliness. In its simplicity, it seems adapted purposefully for the weakness of the inexperienced and ignorant. And yet, none can say that he or she is familiar with the heights and depth with the prayer reveals, with the treasures that the prayer contains, with its wisdom. The prayer is calm. It's suited to the even tenor of our daily life. And yet, in times of trouble, in times of conflict, the church has felt its value and power, more especially has discovered anew that it anticipates every difficulty and danger, that it solves every problem, it comforts the disciples of Christ in every tribulation of the world. It's the beloved, the revered friend of our childhood, and it grows with our growth. It's a never-failing counselor. It's a companion amid all the changing scenes of life. And as in our lifetime, we must confess ourselves with Luther to be only learning the high and deep lessons of those petitions, so it will give eternity time to answer those petitions. It will take an eternity, in other words, to give an answer to all the petitions. And yesterday I started talking about what each one of those words actually means. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I stopped before we got to the part of talking about the kingdom of God. What does it mean to say, your kingdom come? It's a precious phrase, because in teaching us to pray, your kingdom come, Jesus is teaching us to petition our Heavenly Father to expand his rule over the territory of our hearts. He's calling us to renounce our deal with the devil, to pledge allegiance to expand his kingdom rather than our own. To pray your kingdom come is to pray that God would use your witness for the expansion of his kingdom. This world, as C.S. Lewis once said, is, well, it's enemy-occupied territory. And Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed. He's landed in disguise, and he's calling all of us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. Christ has already won the war, but the reality of his reign is not as yet fully realized. So at present, you and I, we're sandwiched between the triumph of the cross and the termination of time. You might say we're sandwiched between D-Day and V-Day. D-Day was the first coming of Christ. This was when the enemy was decisively defeated. We might say that V-Day is the second coming of Christ, when the enemy, well, the enemy will be totally and finally overcome. The enemy will finally surrender. And so history is hurtling towards this climactic end when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. We might rightly pray, O Lord Jesus, O Lord Jesus, O Lord Jesus, thank you that you are preparing the church as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband, and that one day the veil that separates your habitation from our habitation is going to be removed. What a grace to know that you will be available to us physically, as even now you are available to us spiritually. Your kingdom come. I want to say more about this. Each one of these phrases is so incredibly precious. The next one coming up is your will be done, but let me leave that for later. The thing that I'm trying to do, and hopefully succeeding in doing, is whetting your appetite for the deeper meaning behind each word, so that when, again, you pray the Lord's Prayer or the prayer of Jesus, you don't simply do it as a rote prayer without thinking, but you actually expand on each one of the words. So I thought this morning as I prayed, Our Father, not only thought but said, Lord, thank you for the privilege of calling you Father. And not just my Father, because I'm not a Lone Ranger Christian, but our Father. In other words, a remembrance that I was praying in plural, that even as I was praying, as I was walking and praying, there were others praying that same prayer. Maybe they were in Asia or somewhere in Africa, but they were praying that same prayer. And we are praying in unison. But we're praying to our Father, Only Jesus could have made that available to us, because before the coming of Christ, we could not call God our Father. But we are now heirs. We have been adopted into the family of God. We are truly His, and again can address Him as our Father who art in heaven. The book, The Prayer of Jesus, and the cross with the prayer of St. Ephraim, you can find on the web at equip.org, available for those who support the ministry. I hope you'll make a life practice of praying these prayers and understanding what you're praying as you do. They're available for those who support the ministry, equip.org. We'll be right back.
O Lord and Master of my life, give me not a spirit of sloth, idle curiosity, love of power, and useless chatter. Rather, accord to me, your servant, a spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and King, grant that I may see my own faults and not condemn my brother. For you are blessed unto ages of ages. Amen. This prayer has been so profoundly impactful on Hank Hanegraaff's life that he would like to offer you a cross engraved with this very prayer. To receive this prayer engraved cross for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Perched against Hank Hanegraaff's bathroom mirror is a cross engraved with a prayer. O Lord and Master of my life, give me not a spirit of sloth, idle curiosity, love of power, and useless chatter. Rather, accord to me, your servant, a spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and King, grant that I may see my own faults and not condemn my brother. For you are blessed unto ages of ages. Amen. Hank Hanegraaff feels led by the Holy Spirit to share this prayer engraved cross with you in the hope that this cross and prayer might become as meaningful to you as it is to him. To receive this prayer engraved cross, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Thank you.
Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I've been talking all this month about prayer, because prayer is firing the winning shot. And we have resources that are available. A book that I wrote, which was a number one bestseller, The Prayer of Jesus, which, of course, is the Lord's Prayer, as well as a cross that contains the prayer of St. Ephrem, a prayer that I pray each and every morning. And I was talking about how precious it is to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. But then we pray this phrase that Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done. What's that all about? Well, think about it. In teaching you and I to pray, thy will be done, Jesus is focusing our attention on the sovereign wisdom of our Father who is in heaven. Let me tell you the truth. We simply do not know how to reconcile all the converging factors of our lives. Far too complicated. And we can thank God that this world is under His control, not ours. And so one of the most comforting thoughts that can ever penetrate your mind, my mind, a mind yielded to the will of God, is that He who created us also knows what's best for us. Therefore, if we walk according to His will, as opposed to trying to command Him according to our own wills, we will have, as promised, not a panacea, but peace in the midst of the storm. I say that because in the yielded life, there's a great amount of peace in knowing that the one who taught us to pray, your will be done. He has every detail of our lives under control. And so we can rest assured that even in sickness, even in tragedy, everything works together for good to you and I who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. God, of course, is not going to spare us from trial and tribulation, but He will use the fiery furnace to purge impurities from our lives. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he was severely afflicted with gout. I don't know if you know about gout, but it's a condition that brings on excruciating pain. And one of my favorite quotes comes from Spurgeon when he said, "Were you ever in the melting pot, dear friends? I've been there. My sermon's with me." The result of melting is that we arrive at a true valuation of things, and then we're poured out into new and better fashion. And oh, said Spurgeon, we may almost wish for that melting pot if we may but get rid of the dross, if we may but be made pure, if we may but be fashioned more completely like unto our Lord. So maybe you can pray with me. Dear Jesus, you know what's best for me. So help me to trust you more and more in this moment. Help me to know that your way is the best way. Your will be done. How important is this? And there's so many people commanding God according to their wills. So many people in the church today saying, never, ever, ever have those doubt-creating words emit from your lips. Major Christian leaders telling you that. Don't ever pray, thy will be done. And yet this is precisely what the Lord tells us to do. It's what the Apostle Paul tells us to do. It's what James tells us to do. In fact, they all tell us anything beyond that is nothing but boasting and bragging. God knows what is best for us. And I can tell you, as I go through a battle with stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma, and I do think this year I'll come out of the woods with a curative transplant, but as I go through this battle, I pray, Thy will be done. And I remember, and perhaps you remember as well, the book, The Theology of Illness, Jean-Claude Larché. We made that available to our constituency. If you haven't read it, you ought to. But that book underscores, it highlights just how important it is to go through tribulation. When you go through sickness, you recognize that God is accomplishing something in your life. He's not interested in healing you physically. He's interested in healing the whole of you. Let me put that another way. He's interested in doing spiritual surgery on you. And I can tell you, I needed spiritual surgery. We all do. And so we can pray even in the midst of sickness and suffering, Thy will be done. Let me turn a corner real quickly here because I want to say something about Muhammad and Christ. I say that because there's so much in the news today about those who follow Christ who do horrendous things and those who follow Muhammad and do horrendous things. And the thought is there's somewhat of a moral equivalency here. But the truth is, if you really want to understand the difference between Christianity and Islam, you need to look at the leaders of the two. Every Muslim, and this is without exception, is committed to the Shahada, committed to the phrase, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. But the question is, who is Islam's quintessential man? And how well does he contrast with the Christ of Christianity? So let me mention a few things. First of all, according to the most authoritative Muslim sources, Muhammad married a 6-year-old girl, consummated the marriage when she was but 9. And then in the greatest of his conquests, he had a Jewish man beheaded. He took his wife as booty. And then he forced on her his bed. His every stratagem of war paved the way for what 14 centuries later would be the fastest growing pseudo-religious cult in the world. What I'm saying is that Muhammad's trail of terror is the legacy of Islam. He migrated to Medina, but he never assimilated. After he reached critical mass, he slew the Jews. He took their houses and their lands. He beleaguered the cities of Arabia. He took their women and their wealth as his private property. And in accordance with Quran 5:51, he taught his men, and let me quote that. He taught his men not to take the Jews and the Christians as friends, but to instill terror into the hearts of these unbelievers, to smite their necks, to smite all their fingertips off them, and lie in wait for every stratagem of war. You can look up these Quranic verses, Quran 5, Quran 8, Quran 9. You can read it for yourself. Well, contrast is the conduit to clarity. So what is the contrast with Christ? The contrast between Jesus Christ and Muhammad could not be starker. Jesus elevated females to ontological equality with males. He commanded devotees to love their enemies, to pray for those who persecuted them. He instructed adherents to turn the other cheek, to be peacemakers rather than, well, than makers of war. And you recall that when a disciple struck a soldier with his sword, Jesus said, put your sword in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Christ defended the downtrodden. He condemned the self-righteous. He set the ultimate moral example for when he died so that others might live. The contrast between mere mortals like Muhammad and the one who said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," is unbridgeable. One is a conduit to death, the other the conduit to life. So when people try to create a moral equivalency between Christianity and Islam, remember to contrast their founders. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This week's programming, we're in the month of May. Please go to the web at equip.org, avail yourself of the resources available for those who support the ministry. And my thanks for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're making a difference throughout the globe. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.